Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Based in Nashville, Tennessee, musician Patrick Sweeney packs a serious punch combining styles of old school blues, rock, soul, country, and folk. Two of Sweeney's CDs were produced by longtime collaborator and friend Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys, whom he has opened for on tour. In his latest record, Close to the Floor, released in 2013, Sweeney takes a hard look at his life and struggles as a musician. This past summer, Sweeney and his band hit 23 states and provinces. One festival Patrick has always wanted to play was the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival. This year, he finally got his chance. I literally caught up with the Ohio-born blues man on the street as he greeted fans after he played his third show of the day.
So I heard you say that you've been wanting to do this festival for a while, so this is your first time?
Yes.
So how did it finally happen?
We've gained sort of a lot of notoriety through Pandora Radio and through our association with the Black Keys. Dan Auerbach produced a record of ours. He's an old friend from Ohio, was in this band in the early 2000s, and produced a record about 7 years ago of ours that about 3 or 4 years ago started to really become widely circulated and attached to a lot of different Pandora radio stations and on Spotify playlists and Spotify channels. So people started hearing this one particular song, Them Shoes, and it sort of becomes so viral. We're sort of the only example of that amount of sort of cross-pollination and I don't know what else you'd call it.
Yeah, like the perfect storm of everything. Yeah.
Here's Them Shoes from Patrick Sweeney.
Thank you. see me in the evening when the weather's cool. But here's a little feedback. You gotta wear the shoes.
That was Them Shoes from Patrick Sweeney, who I spoke with at the Telluride Blues and Brews Festival.
I mean, I've always wanted to be an entertainer, and I always admired singers and performers and players and guitar players who really, you know, I mean, it's grown to be an instrumentalist, and I'm really not much of an instrumentalist. I do sort of my three little tricks, but I was always so moved by getting to see live music as a kid, and I just wanted to be a part of that. You know, I just see a lot of music, and the bands that impressed me most are the ones that were just letting it all hang out. Like, you think, man, this guy might get hurt. And then, you know, but that's also, you know, that's a bit of show business there, you know, making people think that, wow, you're really on the edge, when you really, you know, like the great performers, like guys like James Brown, like, you know, you think this is completely unhinged and about to collapse, and he's at the absolute end of his strength. In fact, he's very methodical and very, and now I might be a little less methodical than the Godfather. So,
right.
Not to compare myself to that, but that's that type of performing has always been very, very exciting to me. And it's really, really fun. I feel like, you know, the more energy I put out, you know, the more people have to respond to, you know. And then so when they start feeling it, they put it back. And so it just kind of keeps building and building. And then we have this, you know, music is a social thing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't exist by itself. You know, that's why there's no sound in space. I don't know if that's why, but it sounds really cool in an interview to say that. Written down, not so much.
Well, especially with your voice, too. Like, you just have that. It's so, like...
I steal from the best, you know. I steal a lot from Bobby Blue Bland and Ray Charles and those kind of singers. A lot of soul singers, like, you know, Otis Redding's a big influence as well. But Bobby Blue Bland is by far my main dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he just had a way of phrasing and a way of singing, and also singers like Solomon Burke, and kind of putting that against my sort of weird, archaic, you know, finger style guitar playing. You know, just, I don't know, it just feels comfortable to me. So, and you know, people respond to it.
Yeah. You know? It's not just whiskey and cigarettes.
Like, I don't smoke cigarettes, and you know, I take a drink, you know, but I'm not a booze hound by any means. You know, I've always got to. We're sitting in the van. I've always got to drive this thing. You know,
right? Yeah, so, I noticed that and you're putting away your stuff. And
job.
Just a hard worker. Yeah,
it's well. I mean, everybody works hard at their job. You're doing an interview right now. It's midnight on a Friday, like. Everyone's job.
Yeah,
so digging ditches is hard.
Delivering really hard
the,
in there.
Well, it's part of your job. You knew the job was dangerous when you took it. You know.
So I wanted to talk about your latest CD release, Close to the Floor. First of all, that title. What?
Well, that comes from so it's a song Working for You on that record where I sort of lay it out of my frustration with my working life at that time. It sort of stemmed from a lot of time when I touring with the band as a three piece, and as we're coming up, you know, there just wasn't money for hotel rooms and things like that. Or we'd get one, and I'd put, you know, the drummer and the bass player in the beds, and I'd be on an air mattress on the floor. And after a particularly nightmare of a gig, I was on tour, and where we it was just a bad night in Philadelphia that I just woke up really frustrated. I mean, like, man, I am sick of this. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing 10 years down the road of doing this and still sleeping, you know, 6 inches off the ground for my whole working life? I don't sleep in a bed in my working life. So I've got to work harder to make some changes.
In working for you, I feel like it has a happy ending, or not a happy ending. It's just sort of why you decide to keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, yeah. It's definitely a song of like, oh, you think you got me, man? Oh, no, man. I'm coming right back.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really the message of the song. You know, like there's a line in it. So I'm never coming back because of courtesy you lack. My baby, is that working for you? That doesn't mean I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm just not going to come work for you.
Right.
I'm going to go play the club across the street,
yeah,
and work hard to sell it out so you can watch the money fall away from your business for treating me, you know, badly for no reason.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's, I mean, I maybe I'm digging a little too deep in it, but, you know, it sounded like a little, you know, I'll show them.
No, I liked that whole story being expressed in a song because I feel like musicians, sometimes I feel like they don't get enough respect, honestly. There's a lot of highs and lows with it. So you have a night like tonight that's obviously probably a high, you know, and
very
people following
so.
You down
very
the street
so.
And loving you and the kind of support like that. But there's also, you know, a flip side.
Have a shame to my life, cause my wife's gotta keep that job. I should be in an office hating life and drinking coffee instead of staring out of my yard. The world ain't made by a man in a van scraping along like I do. I feel a high power, Lord, pushing every hour. Baby, is that working for you? Whoa, 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 whoa. The 100 miles away. Try my bases, load up on it with my money. Be like a fool. Never coming back, cause I could have seen you like, baby, how's that working for you? Whoa, 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 whoa. Trying to get a message to you. Well, I need it working for me instead of working against me, whipping me out like a dude. Master drive up before I sleep. 3 people in a room. Short on cash, close to the floor, level with my clothes and shoes. Operator system, low system of survival. Baby, is that working for you? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Was Working For You off Sweeney's latest release, Close to the Floor. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and you're listening to Talkin' Music. I spoke with musician Patrick Sweeney after his third show of the day at Telluride Blues and Brews Festival.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about your fans. We are camping next to a guy in our campground who came specifically to see you.
Really?
Like, for the whole festival,
wow.
You know? And I wanted to ask you what kind of impact those people have on you.
Well, I mean, it really, I mean, it moves me a lot. I mean, I feel very, well, I feel, you know, I obviously feel, you know, really good that, you know, there's someone there. It's like, wow, they really, you know, appreciate what you do and really enjoy it and gain joy and happiness in their lives from listening to something that I'm a part of. So now we're a part of that together. And that's the whole, you know, that's the whole thing about music. You always want to feel like you're the cool guy in the room, get your little, you know, your Fonzie kind of thing going on. But it's also such a balance too between, you know, and people like, if you believe what people say about you, you turn into an asshole.
Right, you got to keep your ego in
like
check.
That, you know, that's a thing. So it's very, you know, it's really rewarding and it means a lot to me. But it's also, we're all just people. Everyone's got a job. Everybody works hard. It's a cool thing. I mean, you know, it's always moving, you know, and I, you know, get a little emotional about it, you know, when you see people sing a song that you wrote about a certain part of your life or they get it and they relate, and that makes you want to be like, all right, you're doing the right thing. You know, you're reaching somebody, and, you know, they may not know anything about what was going on or what that song's about, but they've taken it and made it their own. That means something emotionally to them, and that's, you know, that's the greatest thing I think that a human could share. That, you know, you're not like involved with, you know, married to
right,
or
it gets
something.
Pretty intimate.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I would be a little like suffocated by that kind of attention. But do you have enough off time? I guess.
Every day is not the Telluride Blues and Blues Festival. There are plenty of times where we look a lot less cool than we look right now. And believe me, that balances out. You know, my folks were always saying, we have to be humble. We have to, you know, realize every time you think you're the best, that's when that guy who's a little bit better than you is going to knock you out. You know,
die.
And that's, and it's the truth, man.
You play a lot of different kinds of music, rock, blues, soul, punk.
Yeah, I like to. Oh yeah, I love some rock and roll.
There's a lot of tradition with blues and folk and these kinds of things. When you started writing, what was the first song where you were like, "Oh, that's me. I figured out what I do, and not what I'm learning."
Well,
through those genres.
I guess really the one that I felt like I'd really done something that was sort of my own was a song called Chelsea Swing, which is sort of like a fast swing beat. And I was really influenced a lot by the guitar playing of a guy named Lightnin' Hopkins. And so I was using sort of and not to get too guitar nerdy about it, but I used the kind of the right-hand technique that Lightnin' Hopkins would use, and the way he drives the rhythm over a swing beat while I'm playing sort of like really fast kind of walking bass lines and little kind of swingy pull-off runs while I'm singing the song about this crappy apartment I used to live into that was above a bar that I had just a scream of a time at the whole time, you know, and just sort of, that was when I was like, all right, man, you know, this is me, this is about my life, and it's, you know, I felt like it was catchy, and, you know, I'd play it at gigs, and people would like it, you know, outside of, you know, the place I wrote it about, you know, that bar, that
right.
was, but, and, you know, it's, and, you know, I recorded it, I mean, I recorded that song way back in, God, 1999, so yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that's something, but that was, there was a guitar, for lack of a better term, blues guitar player, a guy named Robert Jr. Lockwood, who was one of the only students of Robert Johnson, the, you know, the king of the Delta Blues. He was, they were friends, because Robert Johnson was dating Robert Jr.'s mother, and they got to be friends, and he lived in Cleveland. He ended up being a session guitar player for Chess Records and was playing on all the good Little Walter records, all the good Sonny Boy Williamson records, and tons of other stuff. Very, very influential, very underappreciated, but he lived in Cleveland, which is about an hour from where I grew up, and would hold down a Wednesday night, and I had a friend of mine that took me over to his house a couple times and talked about it, and I mean, I, you know, studied up and really woodshedded and learned one of his tunes, and really, really went for it, and I played it for him, and I nailed it, man, and I played it as good as I could play it, and I really felt great about it, and he was a, you know, wonderful, nice man to me, and but he said that's really, really good. He said, but you know, they already got one, Robert, and crushed me. Oh my God, I was just like, I'm about to cry in front of an old man. I was just like, and that was it, man. That was like flipping a switch. And he said, you got to tell your story, man. That's an old story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and like he was so brilliant and so intelligent to see like that, you know, I think he knew that this was like a pivotal thing for me, that I really needed somebody to be like, because I wasn't interested in, I just thought these wonderful parts of history, you know, I wanted to preserve that and I wanted to do that. And I was happy doing that, being the best white kid at ragtime guitar, you know, in my neighborhood, and just like the squarest of the square, you know. And I wasn't relating to anybody, and I still appreciate and love that music and think it should be preserved and respected. But, you know, that stuff happened in the 20s that I'm singing about and I'm trying to make my own, and it's doable, but people want to hear what's really going on. People, a true story, you know, a real story is always much more interesting than fiction.
Put a big chunk of it in the bank and save it for a rainy day. Only good for the good it can do. And I was thinking that maybe, baby, me and you could go off to someplace quiet and get something to eat. Over my shoulder, out of my head, I was late but now it was early. I haven't even been to bed and it's hard enough to sleep at night. Not to drink, not to fight, but I live above the bar, you know, so people keep stopping by. Good time crowd, you're smoking and drinking and talking loud. And if you haven't had any fun yet, baby, don't you think that maybe you should? This place is always such a mess. It's home for me for now, I guess. And I live above the bar now, so people keep stopping by. Over my shoulder, out of my head, it was late but now it's early. I haven't even been to bed and it's hard enough to sleep at night. Not to drink, not to fight, and I live above the bar, you know, so people keep stopping by.
That was Chelsea Swing from Patrick Sweeney. This is Allie Lightfoot. I spoke with Sweeney at this year's Telluride Blues and Brews Festival. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next.
I was out on the stand, just as wild as I could be. Saw a girl that looked like you, you were two or three. It was all I could do, I could hardly breathe. To think about life years ago when you were two or three. Hey!
me head when you were too old.